Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe living in New York City.
Me, Rodeca, one fat, black, pansexual, whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
Akua, one hoe with a sinus infection that still doesn't have any identities.
And
Rob, one agender, pansexual, feminist with a fatty.
Oh, hey. Shit.
Hey. Yes.
What's
niggas up? And I did my intro on point on the top of my head. I didn't even have to look down.
How does it feel to be back?
It feels very odd, but
okay.
I'm happy. Like, I have a lot of jet lag. I haven't slept in a long time, but I'm ready. Ready to start the fucking episode.
20 by teen.
Never dirty, not clean.
This ridiculous show has two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my lovely three rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes like this one, we all come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This is a group episode, and today we're ending the year. Yeah. So this episode, we're doing a recap of the entire year, and that includes our short segments and our big segments. And our short segments are
Bay of the Year,
where we talk about the people who we found most attractive this year.
Ho of the Year,
where we shout out the homies, the listeners, and the fans who supported us most this year.
Self-care tip of the year,
where we recap the things that helps us the most to take care of ourselves throughout the year.
And pay a hoe.
Yes, because niggas need money every day, all a day. Every year, all year.
And if y'all would like to follow along with the conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag #InnerHoeUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag #Podin so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or the other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, like how to build your own wig crucifix studio, or how to build camaraderie with your three favorite black feminists of the world, we'd love to do so. So please, to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Bay of the Year.
Da, da, da.
I wanted to make a song. Okay, I won't do that though.
I love that.
Bay of the Year.
No.
Bay of the Year. Dun dun. Bay of the Year.
Hey.
Bay of the Year. Dun dun. Bay of the Year.
Why are you?
You're like the Jay-Z when he's reluctantly nodding.
Yeah.
To Coldplay or whatever he was.
I'm a participant, but. You know,
yeah,
reluctantly.
Should I go first because I wrote it first? Yeah. All right. So I have two bays of the year. One are people who are very important to my life as a podcaster, and I think this existence as a show, as a podcast. So I want to shout out the podcast Baddie Brigade. If you don't know, if this is your first ever episode listening to Inner Hoe Uprising, that consists of Inner Hoe Uprising, obviously, Tea with Queen and Jay, Queer Walk, Bag Ladies, and Marsha's Plate. Mm-hmm. And I want to shout them out for Bay of the Year just because it's been a good fucking year for all these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for real.
Strictly, if we're talking about like niggas who make good content, we can just talk about that. Like, the Michaela Angela Davis episode of Tea with Queen and Jay.
I was in there crying.
Yeah, exactly.
I was in there drunk crying.
You were drunk crying.
I bowed
crying.
Yes. At her feet. Can we talk about that trans sibling episode of Marsha's
yes.
Plate? Nigga, I cried in my car at that.
I also cried
crying.
At that. Yeah.
That's really what's been happening.
This is beautiful.
I just,
really good.
It was fucking, like, it's fucking phenomenal content. Like, what was the
Queer
last
Walk kicked off the year with fucking Barbara Smith, my nigga.
See, let's talk we already talked about how Queer Walk goes in therapy, and that's just my self-care, and it's been all year.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We can't even touch Queer Walk because they are just instrumental to my mental health at this point.
They've said it.
And then a Stephanie and fucking Lena. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it their last episode about Saturn's return? I was in here Googling all of ours, bitch. I had everybody's birthday up. I was like, when is it going to be? I got to warn these. Fucking good content.
Very good content, obviously. And if you have never listened to any of those shows, it's like, Okay, that doesn't really make any sense because we talk about it all the time. But do go, please. Do go. You failed the test. Do go, please, and listen to their episodes. But then also as actual human beings and just, I don't know, this year kind of seemed like an entry into a lot of podcasting things that I've never experienced before personally. And maybe you guys feel that also. This is your first full year on a podcast, first of all.
Yeah.
But like generally, so this is my first year working professionally as a podcaster, right? Mm-hmm. And that's super weird because white people are the worst and men are the worst, and just like pulling on this community of people who know that white people are the worst mm-hmm. and that men are the worst and also want to see your good outcome, who want to see you win, just like they want to see themselves win and they want to see other black feminists win, is very, very encouraging to have. And like having conversations, we went upstate to see Queer Walk Live. That was fucking important. Like the conversation over dinner where we talked about the nigga who like fucked us over. That was an important conversation mm-hmm, to have. Mm-hmm. Talking about like people who have, there's just been so much dicked over, but this is like the space where you don't feel dicked over mm-hmm. and the space where you're comfortable with talking about other people who are going through the same experiences as you. And then also like a Stephanie, we both kind of like started our professional podcasting career together. Mm-hmm. We were both just like, oh, we're excited and we want to make content. And then after a while, we were just like, oh, shit, these niggas is kind of wild. Mm. They might not have our best interest in heart. So like having those conversations with her really helped me throughout this year. And it's just like encouragement, like the fucking Feminisa Jones episode that we did last week at the time that you're hearing this. Money just texted me and was like, Feminisa Jones, bitch. And I was like, yes, we did it. But we're like walking in your fucking footsteps. Yes. Look at how you started Look at how you started off the year. Yeah. And then just like, I don't know, it's all kinds of support, like shouting us out on their podcast, Diamond fucking being a contributor on PayPal. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're just support, encouragement. They're kindred spirits. They make great work. Those are my bays of the year. And then the people who I would actually have sex with, because I don't have sex in my circle, are Chance Perdomo and Tati Gabrielle of Sabrina, because they're very sexy. And those are my bases.
The show?
Yes.
Which characters are they?
Fucking.
Ambrose, I know one of them.
Ambrose and Prudence.
Yeah, Prudence.
Oh, yeah.
I found Remember Prudence. When they had their orgy? Yeah. I was just like waiting
for that.
They were
just on the floor and I was like, why aren't you getting in on that?
Prudence walked in and Ambrose looked at her like, oh shit, I tap. And then he was tapping later and I was like, me too. To me both of you.
It's actually a pretty good show.
And that's not saying that I wouldn't have sex with anybody of the podcast Batty Brigade.
You just said you don't fuck in your circle.
Yeah.
Boundaries. Yeah.
But sometimes I do and that's bad. Anyway.
Let's move right on. Let us move right on.
All right.
Self-care to the year. Don't fuck in your circle, guys.
Mine were Ashley, Chubby Bunny, and Erica Hart. Because I feel like this year I spent a lot of time like under a rock, which is kind of funny because of the fact that I was just like so focused on, well, I guess my career, but not really, just like working in a new environment and also school and then like just everything happening at once. So that's every time I went on. Yeah. Yeah. So when I went on Instagram, like I would always go on one or both of their Instagrams just to like understand and see like the fuck shit that was going on and them calling it out. And it was like amazing. And it was always in such an educated way that I was like, it helped me stay relevant, I guess, and mm-hmm. present, and also just feel inspired by the fact that like people are calling out bullshit. Like when Erica got kicked out of Africa, the whole continent,
every country imagine. Was like, nah,
Afropunk. Mm-hmm. She did it. Like, well, she got kicked out because she was wearing a shirt that said like Afropunk sold out for white consumption or something like mm-hmm. that. And like, I felt like the year before it had lost a lot of the rebellion that people had said that it had, I guess, because it was just punk music that it was about the first years in inception. It was super free. Mm-hmm. And like, I went there expecting, I think that people still came there showing out and like their clothes and all that type of stuff. But I can see where she was coming from and calling it out and being there and then being like shunned and kind of like, we don't want this
censored,
message
really.
Exactly, we don't want this message out there. Like I didn't even know any of that was happening until I went on Instagram and I went on her page and I was like, oh snap, like shit's going out there, and like she's still calling out, and it was since such a, she was being featured in magazines and all type of stuff, and I just kind of find her amazing. And I feel like every time I go to an event, I'm like two steps behind her, and yeah, I feel like I'm always like so close to meeting her.
It's like, be on my podcast.
Exactly.
I mean, she's been written on the list of like potential guests for a long time now.
And her and Ebony, like their partnership is so cute, and I love it. So I just felt like being on Instagram, and they were the people who like really kept me up to date in terms of everything. So shout out to them.
I would love to have Ashley on the show also.
Yeah. Ashley, definitely, for like reinforcing being fat in America, which is like something, I guess, well, not I guess, but something I know is like not on everyone's radar, but it's constantly on mine because that's just the way that I live my life. Mm-hmm. So like seeing all these images, and I said this before because she was my babe a week before, but like seeing all those images kind of reinforced the fact that I can be sexy and can be attractive, because I found everyone attractive, but I was like, why don't I see those things in me? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a reinforcement of just like feeling and embracing my fatness this year, which is something I did when I got on the show, but it even helped more having that imagery on my timeline instead of like posts on your timeline that don't really fit your aesthetic or anything like that, and you kind of feel like this is attractive but it's not me. Like Ashley's, I'm assuming her name is Ashley, because it's Ashley Chubby Bunny, but but her, the whole feed, there you go. But the whole, her whole feed was just like a constant reinforcement of my body.
She actually posted you one time.
I know. So there you go.
Literal
body. Of me. But yes.
Dope. Yeah. I fucks with those people. That's cool. Akua.
I agreed with Samantha.
It was yours.
I just wanted you to say it. I just didn't want to make it seem like you didn't have anything to say.
Rob.
So my bae of the year was Bria Miles. Bria Miles is an Instagram influencer / model / make the booty cheeks
bad
clap,
bitch.
Clap, 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 clap. Let's make a clap.
Yes. Exactly.
Recently, as of like yesterday, and now that I'm thinking about it, it's all coming back to me even better now. It was a, maybe not white, but not light skin, a white-ish presenting maybe person of color.
I saw a white woman in a headline.
Okay, cool. Maybe white woman. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't sure. I just know she was white presenting regardless.
Yeah.
Who said that Bria Moss was ugly. If you see this beautiful, beautiful specimen of a human.
No shape or form is she ugly.
Absolutely not. Her face is literally symmetrical, as symmetrical as symmetrics could kind of get. Mm-hmm. Her teeth are completely pearly whites. Kind of so white, I'm like, can I have them?
Can I wear your teeth?
The bitches out. You look like you floss. You look like you floss your gum line. Rhoda Kaka over here.
I forgot about that.
That's crazy.
I think about you all the time when I floss. Like, I wonder if Rodeca's flossing. She has a very nice chesticles, you know, some beautiful breasts. Derriere on 1,000,000% with a very small waist. Mm-hmm. She has the ideal body of what men, typically black men, desire. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was black men, maybe not, they didn't want to say she was ugly, but they said they prefer other women like Kylie Jenner, like Kendall Jenner, like white women who embody African features.
Who paid for African features,
who did not get these African features naturally, and who do not care about who they got these African features from, like what people with African features really go through. And a lot of people are just calling her ugly, saying that she looks like a whore, saying this, just saying like all kinds of disgusting things without saying that she was too dark. Because they knew it was fucked up. They knew that they didn't like her. They didn't know why. And it was because she was too dark for them. I haven't seen her respond yet on social media. She may or may not have. But either way, I made her the bait of the year because she was somebody who looked like me. Granted, I'm not as dark as her. But I never really see people... who look like me, who are just that fucking beautiful. I don't know. I do all the time, but not in that light where it's like, I don't see a lot of dark skin models, essentially. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I see Instagram influencers who are dark skin, but they're not as popularized, which I was very surprised. But then, as we talked about, it's a lot of it's probably because their skin tone is so even. So there's kind of like a fetishizing aspect to it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at least it's like, I saw somebody who looked like me, which I very rarely see. Mm-hmm. I saw myself in somebody, which was just, it was just nice. And then I also saw the comments that I used to get, you know, just really kind of fucking racist comments, you know, and people trying not to be racist. Like, you from the neck down because of the way that my body looked, but I have a very, you know, black ass face. Yeah, I heard that. Heard that when I was in seventh grade. Somebody said that to me, and I was like, damn, bitch, that's crazy. I don't even got no titties yet. Like, what is this? I'm just ugly to you. Like,
what are you even looking
at? I'm just fucking ugly to you. Damn, that's wild. So, yeah, shout out to Bria Miles, my babe of the year. I hope that you get through this colorism phase, and I hope that she kind of uses her platform. Like, she does have, like, a million followers, and I'm sure a lot of them are black women or black people of color in general. And I hope that she uses the platform to go, hi, I want you to know that I do know that people are saying racist, fucked up shit about me because I am very dark skinned. And I'm going to use my platform to uplift dark women because they are definitely the forgotten hue. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times we're left out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Shout out to you, babe. What's up? Fact. And shout out to Bria Miles. And I'm single, slide in my DM.
It was all an elaborate ruse. To bag Bria.
So you could just Bria. Skip everything and just say, brave the year, please slide in my DMs. Or I will slide in yours, but I'm sure you have many right now.
That's a fact.
Skip all the ugly ones and then find me.
Hey. Drag man.
Because you know there's a lot of fucking, not ugly people, I'm talking about the ugly comments, because you know her DMs are probably filled with mad fucked up shit now that people know she exists.
Yeah, that's true.
You look like I look like a bad fucking bitch.
That's a fact.
Fashion Nova eyeing me. Yeah.
Anybody have some hoes this year?
My hoes of the year is anyone and everyone who attended the events that we held this year. Like, I was looking back, I was like, we did a fucking lot. We did too much this year. No wonder I'm fucking tired. It's all this yellow one. Okay. This
why would you call me yellow? Can't stop, won't stop.
I was scrolling through like all the documents and realized that we started the fucking show with fucking year with a live show. I was like, I forgot we fucking
this
did
year.
That.
Was
this
year. I was going through the docs and I was like, yo.
That was like really
that was
this
January
year.
2018.
I completely forgot that was a thing. I forgot that happened this year. And that
I had another live show this year.
Yeah. It was Aichu day and night. I forgot that shit even fucking happened.
Wow, that was one of my favorite things.
That was
amazing.
Shit was fucking
that was a
wild.
Great time.
I show people all those pictures in Kuwait, like, look what mine is.
They get spanked in front of their little brothers.
Yeah. Did not know he was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was there getting hit on by these grown-ass women. He was 20 at the time.
But, yeah, like, looking back and seeing that we did, like, this year has been so fucking long. Like, I can't believe that this is all in the same year. It's, like, 2 years in one. I don't know how the fuck it's been that long. Mm-hmm. And, like, realizing that we did all of that and niggas continuously showed out, it was like, yo,
like,
y'all
like
was really coming
like
out
me.
To these things.
There were people like apologizing, like, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I'm like, you guys fucking like us. It's okay. You have responsibilities.
So yes, there are my hoes of the week, and then my other hoe of the week,
the year.
Oh, sorry, of the year, mother hoe of the year is motherfucking Rob.
Hey, like,
cause can we talk about how they still repped all the way from 7 hours of a time difference? Like every time
before daylight savings,
every time I was on Twitter, it was Rob just retweeting, reposting. I didn't do shit on Twitter all year, but let's talk about what Rob did, okay? I was like, I'm in awe.
I'm your biggest.
Oh no. I'm scared.
I'm scared. No, Rob. That is my hoe of the year.
That's a good host.
I was gonna say Milton for coming from out of town twice this year.
Yeah, shout him out. Shout him out.
That was like, he heard that we were doing the Halloween thing and he was like, I'm booking my, I think it was a bus, pretty sure it was a bus, again, yeah, like hours. I'm coming twice this year. So appreciate that. Yeah.
I love you.
Radical.
That was dope. Thank you.
Radical. My hoe of the year is Calvin because he set off one of my favoriteest chains of events this year.
You have to say the whole name.
We used to say it in the past, but now I'm like, I'm not sure if he wants it. So I'll say Calvin PJ.
Okay.
Yeah. But so when we were doing the polyamory series back in Polygamy, May, yes. Shout out to the puns. I think we just asked for people who were in certain kinds of polyamorous dynamics, and he introduced us to Evita, who happened to know Ruby. Did he also introduce us to Ruby?
No.
Okay, but they ran in the same circles. Yeah. Okay.
No. Rosalind introduced us to Ruby via Facebook.
Oh yes, which is interesting because then Evita knew Rosalind,
and it was good that we found Evita.
Yeah, and then from there, Ruby invited us to Poly Dallas, which is where we met Feminisa Jones, which is how we had that bomb ass episode that everybody loved last week. And Poly Dallas was just amazing, and Feminisa y'all are coming
Jones
this year.
Put on one of our shirts.
Feminisa Jones did put us one of our shirts.
I've been crying all year, apparently.
Yeah.
That's really what this is.
Yeah. The Akua cry.
She literally stripped at this expo on our merchandise and then did basically free advertising. Mm-hmm. So that anytime someone saw her, they saw Inner Hole Uprising and I cried.
Yeah.
Cool. Are you gonna cry now?
This is amazing. I just beautiful. I feel like oh, no, that really brought tears to me. Like, it still does. I was like, nigga, Samantha, we people. It was too much. It was too much.
Yeah, that was bomb as fuck. And then also like a special shout out to all the people who write in their episode ideas, like Anna, for example, who did a great episode about scholarship and Hodum, or Shayna, who did the Cut Queen episode. So shout out to people who like contribute to making content on this show. Yes. It's not easy though.
Whenever we say write in, y'all be writing it in.
Y'all do be writing
helping us.
Yeah. Thank you. Self-care tip of the year.
So my self-care tip of the year is allow yourself to feel your emotions. Be okay with feeling and showing discomfort and take up space. This is exactly what we said in the episode. I shook his hand with my vagina. I still love that title. I said that without even thinking about it, and here it is, immortalized. But I think that was something that really, you think it doesn't need to be said, but it definitely needs to be said. Mm-hmm. I personally resonated with this one, because of the fact that I am the type of person to stomach and swallow my emotions, because of the fact that I don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable or don't want to feel like a burden. That's like my big issue. If I could be going through a lot and I'll just be like, I'm sorry that I'm like venting to you. I'm sorry that I'm taking up your time. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry. I'm constantly apologizing for feeling, because I guess I don't, or I haven't in the past, felt like my emotions were valid. So allowing yourself to take up space, just feeling, not making yourself small for anyone, especially for niggas that don't matter. Like,
niggas
whoa,
who say
hold
errands.
On. Like, niggas that don't matter. Like,
niggas who think that 9/11.
Y'all gotta stop.
Especially for niggas like that.
Every single one of you.
Don't make yourself feel like, I don't know how many times I've been like, I don't want to say this, or oh my gosh, I feel like I'm a burden, or I feel like I'm bothering this person. And like, granted, you could be bothersome, but so fucking what? Like, the
nobody
person
cares when they bother
exactly.
You
exactly. No, people bother you all the time and they don't care about how much space they take up in your head or in your heart or in your like your problems and just like being there. So I'm not saying like just shove yourself on people. I'm just saying like stop editing yourself. And that's something that I'm learning and was a very constant back and forth for me for 2018. And something that I will carry into 2019, where it's just like not making myself compartmentalized when I am, like, you know, important.
Yes, you are.
I like that you brought that up because taking up space, and that was a Samantha self-care tip of the week.
It was actually all three of ours. We all added little things to that in that episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you re-listened. but I really saw it in my life. It was actually Thanksgiving. Me and my son spent Thanksgiving with Sam and her family. And my son is very outspoken.
Yes, he is.
He is very outspoken. But I started to realize that him taking up space made me feel so uncomfortable that I started to like push him down and like try to corner him. And that was like, that made me really need to like reflect on what I carry with me that I'm projecting as a parent, you know, because nobody else was uncomfortable with him taking space but me. Especially not in this house, you know, and it was just me. And I had to like really step back and be like, all right, everyone else is fine. It's me. Then I have to really unpack this and really check myself for doing it in other spaces and other times, especially with him. Because if he grows up with someone, you know, dimming him and cutting his corners and putting him in a box, then, you know, he'll be needing this self-care tip of the week when he's older. Like, no.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah. Yes.
That was a good one. No.
Good job, Bro Dickie.
Thanks.
It's the last time I compliment you for 2019.
You keep saying it, and now it's starting to become a trend. I'm getting comfortable with it, and I don't want you to take it away. Please.
What's your self-care tip, Rob?
So my self-care tip of the week is...
Year.
Whoa, my fault. My God, damn. Yeah. Like, Anya, not Samana. Like, I'm sorry.
I didn't even know what you guys said, and I was like, oh, shit, it's year. My bad.
I don't know who I am. Is it 2019 or is it 2020? 2020 vision.
Time
am I
is
right,
a
guys?
Construct.
Not yet. I'm waiting for that year, though.
What's a year?
I'm on a rock. A year is me passing from a rock around a gaseous object. I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay. Anyway.
We brought it back.
Cool. I hate that. That's funny to me.
Just going to keep just going back. They got to keep touching it lightly.
Exactly. You have to.
So my self-care tip of the year is speak your truth. And if you can't speak your truth, change your space. So by that, I mean, if you are surrounded by people who you can't be honest with, you can't come out or not even come out, you just can't be queer, be openly queer, be openly trans, be an open feminist, be an open anti-misogynoir, around these people, you got to change your space. Mm-hmm. You got to change the people that you hang around. You got to change the situations you find yourself in if you want to feel comfortable about being yourself. If you don't want to feel comfortable, is it something that is too difficult, you can also find another space to channel that energy. Because I personally know, being institutionalized for 9 months, that speaking your truth is very important for your mental health. I've had to call myself she. I've had to refer to myself as a Black woman. I had to not call all my partners, regardless of their gender, they, so that I did not reveal my queerness, because I didn't want to mess up and accidentally say she when I meant he, or I don't know, or say she when the last one before the she was he, and then, you know, and have to explain. I'm just gay, you know, just gay trans motherfucker all up in your ranks. Please don't kick me out.
Yeah.
So I know how important it is to speak your truth, and I know how important how hard it may be if you are institutionalized to be unable. You may be unable to change your space because there aren't spaces for you to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you have people like us for. You got the podcast, you got other podcasts, but especially our podcast.
Hey,
we love ourselves. And that's why we have our write-in section.
IHUpodcast@gmail.com.
You can write in, you of course, about sex, love, and dating, but if you really need to rant about the white cis that patriarchy, that's nobody ever does that shit, but it's because you motherfuckers probably experience that shit every fucking day. It's nothing new to you. It's like, oh, the ground's there. And white cis and patriarchy exists.
The air we breathe.
Yes. Facts. Wow, the sky is blue. Also, white people. I understand. But if you don't have a space to do that, we're more than happy to, you know, read your words, at least share your truth. If you can't speak your truth to people around you, we can speak your truth to a wider audience than you probably had access to. But if you can change your space, you know, change your space. If people are making you feel uncomfortable in a conversation, you can get up and leave. Which, you know, it may be difficult because people may question, why'd you get up and leave? But you can, if you can, because not everybody can do this, but you can be honest if you're able to be honest. Mm-hmm. I left the room because you were being racist. I left the room because you were being transphobic, homophobic, sexist. Not everybody has that space. And sometimes you say stuff like that, you know, it can get very violent. So, of course, you know, be safe. And be very cautious with the things that you do say, because this is not a world built for queer people of color, unfortunately. But there are people, there are groups, there's people, there's humans, there's a community that is for you. You just gotta find it. You gotta seek it, even if it's an online community to talk to people. But also there's us. Shit, if you tweet us and you want to rant, we'll retweet your rant. Somebody gonna comment on that fucking rant. Y'all can have That's a rant true. Within the rant, and then yo, bro, I heard you like rant, so I put a rant within your rant so you can rant while you rant. What are those rants, you know?
The exhibit of dismantling white supremacist patriarchy capitalism.
Miss that meme. I love saying that meme out loud. It makes me feel good. But for real, like, you know, there's ways. There's ways to speak your truth. There's ways to be who you really want to be. And I know, I get it. I fucking get it. But I'm here, bro. I'm here, brosifs and brosephides. That's other ones. We don't nice. Do gender explicit bros. All the bros.
That's a fact. Thank yes. you, Rob. All right, I'm gonna do myself to keep to the wow, that's a lot of prosecco.
Self what?
Self self-care tip of the year.
Yeah.
All right, so mine is to be patient with yourself. This is inspired by a very sometimes Janicia from Tea with Queen and Jay yells at me, and in a good way,
yeah.
in a good way that I need, like, don't trust these niggas, Sam. I told you already. So we were at Work It and we were talking about kind of my state as a freelancer right now, because if you listen to the show, you know that I lost the one real job that I've ever had in August, and from there I've been like, well, fuck that 9-to-5 shit, I'm trying to freelance now. But it hasn't been quite going the way that I want it to, because this shit is kind of hard. Like, it's like having a job on top of having a job, where you have to do work, but you also have to, one, manage yourself, and then manage how other people treat you. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, there's this one person who's like not fucking paying me what I need to get paid or whatever, and I don't think it's like going as good as I want it to go. And she was like, this is all bullshit. And by this, she just meant the world and society. Mm, nice. And the timelines that we set for ourselves, right? So, like, there's nothing in life that says you shouldn't be living at your dad's house right now. There's no actual pressure on you other than societal pressure and people who are bullshitting, who say that this is not the space where you need to be. There's nobody that said, okay, you just got laid off, now hop back into another job that makes you fucking unhappy right here and right now. So by be patient with yourself, I mean be patient with the timeline that is comfortable to you. Like, don't run and chase after anybody else's societal timelines. If you have a certain goal that you want to accomplish by like June of 2019, for example, because we're heading into the next year, then do that because you want to do that. But don't do that because, oh, your fucking parents said this, or your best friend said this, or the niggas on Twitter say, oh, you gotta have a fucking house by 25. My nigga, don't nobody got a house by 25, my nigga. Don't nobody got no money for a house by 25, my nigga. Yeah,
the
back
in memes 30 years ago.
Literally 30 years ago. Yeah, niggas did have house by 25 money. But now, if you have it, sure, and you want a house right now, invest in that shit. But if you want to invest in fucking traveling the world, do that shit. We are on a floating rock in the middle of nowhere.
Put it like that.
There Let's is not no get into this. Rules,
That's my reality.
My nigga. There's no
Every
rules.
Day.
This
I was,
is all bullshit.
I was
it's
actually,
a simulation.
I was actually having a very heated debate about how time is arbitrary on
it
the
is.
Phone earlier today, because
Who
I was
talking to the Chinese food man.
Be there 15 minutes.
No.
Remain nameless.
You run on my timeline.
But
do you hear me, sir?
Yeah, they had said they woke me up at 9:00 in the morning and then told me that I was
I had slept half the day away. And I was like, nigga, I just woke up. It's been 15 minutes. Half my day has not. And then they were like, no, but like just a whole bunch of stuff. And I just kept refuting because no, time is arbitrary. It's like, there's 24 hours in a day. I'm like, all right, so if we split that into 12 hours a day, like 12 hours a night, like daylight didn't start, so I opened my eyes. He was like, no, daylight starts when the sun rolls. I was like,
my day started at 9 fucking a.m., my nigga.
Thank you. And then they were like, no, then they switched it to no, the day started when the sun rose. So I pulled up my Apple told you when the sun rises on the weather app. I was like, the sun rose 2 hours ago. Still not half of the day, my nigga.
Yeah.
Like, and it we just kept going and going and going. And but it was hilarious.
The sun doesn't rise.
It's always there.
It's always there.
It also is a giant floating rock in the middle of nowhere.
It's a floating gas.
Yeah. Ultimately, be patient with yourself for 2019.
Yes. I'm going to take that with me. I'm gonna take that with me.
Yes, Akua.
Go to fucking therapy.
Sam is like, why are we screaming in mics today? I love it.
I feel like I've said this at least one episode all year. If I didn't, I've been saying it in real life. I have roped a lot of people in my real life circles into therapy, and I'm still working on the ones that aren't in there. But go to therapy, and I'm not gonna say that and then leave you wandering into the wildness, the wilderness, looking for therapists. I'm going to tell you how to find a therapist. And Samantha is going to link all of this in the description below because I gave her the links so that she could easily copy
and paste. Thank you. I appreciate it.
One, we have Psychology Today. They have a directory where you can plug in your zip code. It will then pull up therapists and clinicians in your area. You can filter by gender, by sexuality, by faith, by ethnicity, race. I don't think you could do age, but the age that they specialize in, areas of expertise and modules of therapy. So like CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, people who that specialize in depression, relationship issues. So you can really like pick a person. Now, the more you filter, the less people you're going to get. But you might hit that one person who's the woman who, you know, does CBT for queer people and specializes in body dysphoria and depression. Boom. There is Sarah's face right there. After you done put it all
her
in.
Name's and Sarah.
She two blocks away. Like,
yeah.
The next one is ZocDoc. ZocDoc, mostly people use it for like doctors. Mm-hmm. But if you go in and you're looking, you can find social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists on ZocDoc as well. And it allows you to filter, not the same way as Psychology Today, but like it filters by like insurance, it filters by gender. I don't know the specifics for therapist, but I know because it's the same as the doctor, so it filters by those kind of things. Really just insurance and gender is what I'm really remembering.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course like your zip code. And then we have Therapy for Black Girls Directory. Shout out to Dr. Joy. Love Dr. Joy. Mm-hmm. And she has curated a directory of black therapists on her website. She also has a podcast with great content that you can listen to. And she also has a guide for when you're ready to go into therapy, things you should know, things you should, you know, prepare yourself for. And I've put the links to both of those. Mm-hmm. Now, her directory is very sparse. So if you just happen to be a therapist, you know, listening to this, go find yourself and add yourself on it. If you got a therapist already, make sure they're on there so that other people can find, you know, other therapists. Because it's building, but it's only with contributions. But it's still great. We have Open Path Psychotherapy Collective. I've heard a lot of people use Open Path to find queer therapists. Mm-hmm. I don't know how true this is, but you can also go in there and find you a therapist through Open Path. Your insurance, if you are have the luxury of insurance in this horrible, horrible capitalistic society, you can find a clinician through your insurance listings or through a referral from your primary care doctor, if you got one of those two. I ain't got neither. But
same.
And then that's easy to find in-network clinician, so you don't have to worry about paying out-of-pocket fees, mostly just your copay if you have one, or your deductible if you have that. If you also have a job, which gives you benefits, you can get help finding a therapist through your employer's assistance program. And that is a benefit that comes, I don't know exactly what they do. They help you do things, employer assistance programs help you do things that your employer might already, this don't make no sense, might already be able to provide. So like for, I can speak on my instance, I am a mental health therapist. My employer assistance program would help me find another therapist out of my network because wow. I can't then bring myself or my child to my job talking about we need mental help. That's just too many conflicts. So they would help me find a therapist outside of that. And then directories from professional organizations such as the American Psychological Association, the National Alliance on Mental Health, or Mental Illness, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, that's NAMI. And they also have a helpline so you can call and they will give you clinicians in your area, NAMI prayer groups in your area. So they have peer groups for like borderline personality disorder, depression, grief, like local chapters and support groups. So you can call that, and Sam's going to put that there. AMCA, which is my association, the American Mental Health Counselor Association. Let's act like that's what it is. And then the National Association for Social Workers. And if you go through their directory, everyone that's licensed and in those organizations will then be listed and you can find them that way as well. And then if traditional therapy where you can't go into an office just does not work, we have telehealth, online therapy, Talkspace. I know you hear those ads everywhere. You have BetterHelp and you have Breakthrough, which I learned Googling today. I didn't even know Breakthrough was there, but it's also another online platform that you can use to find therapists. And if all of that fails, because I've like been putting people on and they've been reaching out to therapists and not getting like answers, like just the weirdest things have been happening, you can reach out to me and I will try to help you. And I think Roro had a good suggestion about if you're still in academia, going to your university counseling center. My first therapy experience was with a psychologist, a PhD candidate at my university, and that bitch was lit. Like, I missed her.
Shout out to that bitch.
So, all resources, all things Smith and Willis. Good luck, but get your ass in therapy, and I'm gonna be checking on y'all.
No, oh, thank you, Akua. That was so many resources. There's one lady who somebody went, she only has one review on some website, and somebody was like, yeah, I went and she didn't cancel on me, and I rang on the doorbell and she pretended like she wasn't inside.
Oh my lord. Yo, I don't, now again, with these resources, I cannot guarantee that these people won't be trash because we are still people.
Yeah. That's
true. With jobs.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, vet, use the trash everywhere, trash everywhere. Shout out to Alex. Yeah, so you still have to, once you find one that responds to you and doesn't ghost you, you still have to vet them. So that means give them a couple of sessions. If something feels off, you can cancel that right there and start the process. Again, it's grueling. Nobody's trying to do that. Hopefully you find a good match the first time. But again, we don't want to skimp on our mental health and settle. You know, we might settle with these fuckboys, but not with our mental health.
Now we don't settle anywhere in 2019. If you would like to help support this podcast monetarily, you can do so by going to innerhoeuprising.com and clicking the tab Pay a Hoe Once or Pay a Hoe Monthly. Pay a Hoe Once takes you to our PayPal, which is also paypal.me/innerhoe if you want to pop that into your URL box directly. Pay a Hoe Once takes you to PayPal, which you can give anything that you want at any time that you want. Thank you very much. So you can give $1, you can give $2, $4, $5, $6, $24, anything you want at any time you want. It's non-committal. It's like a one-night stand of paying us. You could also do Pay a Hoe Monthly, which takes you to our Patreon, which is a consistent relationship that you're engaging with in the Inner Hoe Uprising. So the address for that is actually patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. You can do a couple of things. You can donate $2 every single month, which gives you early access to ticketed IHU events, meaning you get the tickets before anybody else, and sometimes you get discounts for the tickets. You can also do $5 a month, where you get that. Also, you're going to get the newsletter that will launch in 2019. I fucking promise.
And the whole playlist that will launch in 2019.
Oh, the whole playlist that we're launching. Basically, all of the extra stuff that we're thinking of. You can see the behind the scenes footage where Rob is actually on the ground right now, like in Mission Impossible 1. Dent, 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 and dent, dent. You get to see video of all types of things like that on Rob being on our Patreon. Yeah, so, and you can donate any less or any more. This is just a more consistent way to pay a hoe. You get in a relationship with us. You get in bed with us. Some other ways that you can pay us.
Wait, what?
Not a real bed. Stop, the metaphorical
me out,
bed.
Samantha.
The
stop
metaphorical
me
bed.
Out.
The metaphorical bed. You can also leave an Apple Podcast review. You can leave a Stitcher review, even though only 6 people in the world have ever done that, including myself. Yes, Joelle was one of them. Joelle was one of them. You could do that. You could tweet about us. You could write us up on your blog. You could do the end of the year podcast list, which you probably already wrote because this is December 26th by the time it's coming out. You could link us in your group chat. You could nudge your coworker like, hey, listen to this podcast. Or you can walk down the street wearing an Inner Ho Uprising shirt. Yes, if you go to innerhouseuprising.com/merchandise, you can buy a pin, a button, a condom, a t-shirt, a crop top, or another kind of t-shirt. Ooh. Yeah, and in the 2019, we're gonna do some other stuff.
Ooh, yeah,
bigger sizes are coming.
Yes.
So that's some ways that you can support us. You can also support us on January 6th, which is a Sunday at 6 p.m at Love Story Bar on the border of Bushwick, which is in Brooklyn, and Ridgewood, which is in my hometown of Queens. Are we all from Queens?
Yeah!
Wow. That's where Love Story is. Haha. We're having our Sex Trivia Sunday event, the first one of the year. It's the first Sunday of every month. So January 6th, we'll be there 6 to 8 p.m. You get to play sex trivia with yourself, or you get to play with your team. You compete. We have 4 rounds. They're really cool. You learn stuff. We have sex experts in the building. The sex experts teach you about the things that you didn't know in the breaks where we're tallying your votes. Where we're tallying your scores. At the end, when we tally your scores, whoever wins gets a prize. It's cool. It's free entry. It's a bar. It's lit. There's good music. There's good people. Come through. We do ask that you RSVP for the event so we know how many teams are competing. So I know how many note cards that I need to write down on Saturday night, because that's how I spend my Saturday night. Let's get into the actual show. This is what happens when you recap a year. So this is now our Fuck That of the Year segment, which is our current event segment. So basically, we're going to drop some stories that we felt like were really important, really funny, really cool things, really good takeaways from 2018.
Fuck that!
The story that was important to me this year was the war on hoes. And by hoes, I mean, there's always a war on any kind of person who is not a man, who is having sex. There's always that war. But when I say hoes, I specifically mean the folks who get paid for sex. So I'm talking about sex workers. And one of my regrets for this year as a podcast is that we didn't do more content with sex workers. And that was something that was in the works, but fell through a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sex workers have lives. They have jobs.
Responsibilities.
They have responsibilities. And sometimes it's not particularly safe to be on things like a podcast mm-hmm. all the time, especially when people are like shitting on you on the internet, which is what we're going to talk about. So if you are a sex worker who is in the space to talk about your space in the field next year, then we would love to have you. ichewpodcast@gmail.com. But now I just want to talk about the war on hoes from our perspective. And if you have anything else to add that was missed in this segment, then please also write into ichewpodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, so there was a war on hoes. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you ever listen to the show. So there are some things that we've talked about in the show and some things that we haven't. So I'm going to recap with some fast facts. So first, in the first quarter of this year, there was a law that was passed in conjunction. The law is known as FOSTA SESTA. So that's a combination of House Bill FOSTA, the Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act, and Senate Bill SESTA, the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act. And the guise of it is that it is intended to make it easier to cut down on illegal sex trafficking online. If you want a full unpacking of this, you can go to the episode In the Absence of Dick, I Found a World of Splendor, where we talked to someone who was advocating for pretty much like denouncing this bill on the episode. But here are some recap fast facts. So basically, what that bill did was open online platforms to new criminal and civil liability for hosting content about sex work at both federal and state levels, which in turn led to a lot of websites to just completely over-censor their users and shut down any mention of sex, nudity, sex work on their websites because they didn't want that smoke with the government. Because who does want that smoke with the government, right? Government is kind of scary. So why that is wrong is that the reason for this bill, as they say, is to stop sex trafficking, but in doing so, in shutting down everyone who's involved in sex work or folks who are just involved in sex work, it's conflating sex work with sex trafficking, which is eliminating the agency that sex workers have over their actual careers and bodies. Also, shutting down websites is not addressing sex trafficking. So people just tend to do illegal shit elsewhere on the internet. And people who actually have been victims of sex trafficking advocate for these websites to remain open so that people can actually crack down on people who are involved in sex trafficking, because mm-hmm. that's where you would find them. And then you shut them down and then you go and arrest them. But if you just filter them off of websites, they're just going to create little weird dark online communities mm-hmm. elsewhere. So it doesn't really make any sense on that front. But then also what it does is push sex workers into the further into the margins, because sex work in this country at least isn't legal, so people are already at the margins who participate in sex work. And when you shut down websites like this, so for example, a lot of people who used to do full service sex work on the street, where they would go and pick up johns on the actual street, went to online to book their johns, to vet their johns, to kind of like provide a barrier to the people who they were engaging with. Now, when you force them off of websites, you're forcing them back into the street, which then forces them back into potentially dangerous situations. And one of those dangerous situations could in fact be sex trafficking. Wow. This doesn't make any sense. Isn't it so stupid? Haha.
What a surprise.
Yeah. So my little takeaway from this is that, yeah, so people who advocate for this don't see the difference between consensual sex work and sex trafficking, which is
entirely different.
It's entirely different. It's wrong. It's a fucked up thing to do. And they also think that closing your eyes and pretending that sex trafficking doesn't exist, which is basically what you're doing when you're forcing it off of what when you're forcing all sex off of websites, you're just saying, la, 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 it's not here. It's not happening here. So it's not happening anywhere. But it's definitely happening in other places, and you're not helping to solve the problem. It's kind of doing like a quick and easy fix for a problem that doesn't have a quick and easy fix. Like, we need resources. We need people actually combing through these websites. We need people detecting where sex traffickers are at. We need people detecting where child pornography is at. It's not a fun job, but it's a job that needs to happen. And if it doesn't need to happen, it's just going to keep proliferating in other places on the internet. So it doesn't make any sense. Fuck Fossa Sesta. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The second thing where I felt like, so we talked about Fossa Sesta, but we didn't talk about these things that have been popping up towards the end of the year. So this is kind of just recapping where the war on hoes has been going. So there was something called the Thought Audit. Did y'all hear about that?
That one I didn't hear about at all.
So this happened over Thanksgiving weekend, Thanksgiving in America. So that's like November 26th or something like that.
22nd.
Over that weekend, these incels online, that is stands for the involuntary celibate, which is actually a term coined by a woman, but then fucking misogynists online took it over to mean that, like, yeah, they took it. They reclaimed the term. These are people who are mad that women don't have sex with them, basically. And they're often very misogynist. They're always very misogynist.
It's really bad. Oh, yeah. My God.
So they started this online movement to get women sex workers banned from online payment services like PayPal, like Venmo, like Cash App, for breaking the rules that those sites have against soliciting sexual and digital content online, because, mm-hmm. you know, sex work isn't legal in this country. So it's illegal in those, it's not a part of those places' terms and services, one. And then two, as we learn from our Women of Sex Tech episode with Lydia Bonilla, they kind of shy away from that kind of stuff because it's a legal disaster from them. So if they get caught with any sort of like, yeah. people selling sexual content online, that can be bad for their bottom line. So they're just like banning it outright. But when it's like going under the cracks and it's not hurting anybody, these niggas are still like, hey, this woman's selling sex online.
It's hurting their egos.
And then when that happens, people's like accounts get frozen and PayPal withholds their money, which could be somebody's rent money or the money to feed themselves or their child or anything like that. So it's like really a different form of harassment that's happening online because people hate sex workers and people hate women. So my takeaway for that was like, I understand why these companies want to do that, because you have to cover your own ass at the end of the day. Like, nobody wants to smoke with the government. But if we really want to like change the world and change the society, and we're doing all these fucking like next level, like, oh, this is 2019 and 2018 and we're millennials and we're all for everybody type bullshit in these spaces, which I feel like Venmo was doing at a certain point. Like Venmo was being very like, we're the millennial Cash App. Mm-hmm. Then you have to do the work to actually change the society that you say that you're trying to change. So push your lawmakers to change laws about what's okay in regards to sex work. Like push your lawmakers to decrim sex work. So that means, I get that people don't want to vote, but that means voting for fucking lawmakers who are for decriminalizing sex work. Like that's where it starts. Opening up a safe space for sex workers, lawyers and lawmakers who are actually trained in law, start practicing your craft in ways that support these people. So fuck the thought audits. Yes. Next up and most recent, Tumblr banned porn. Which hurt, because that's the only reason why I use Tumblr. The fuck. But also, like, it had implications for sex workers. So on December 17th, well before that Tumblr announced this, but on December 17th is when they actually enacted it, Tumblr banned explicit sexual content of certain kinds of nudity. And a lot of people were like me, like, that's the only reason why we use Tumblr. And some people were like, that's not all Tumblr is for. But 22% of users followed explicit blogs, but only 1% of the blogs on Tumblr were explicit. So the numbers there. Niggas was using Tumblr for porn, son. Correct. Like, what the fuck? So the why. So 2 weeks before Tumblr announced that it was going to ban porn, the Tumblr app got kicked off the Apple App Store because of child pornography slipping through its filters. And Tumblr stated that their no tolerance policy against child pornography shouldn't be conflated with the move to ban adult content. And they said that they're actually banning all adult content to create a quote unquote better Tumblr, which I just think the phrasing of that is very fucked up, because it denotes that like sex and sexuality and adult content is not better.
Yeah,
which doesn't, like, that's how we're all here. What are you talking about? We have genitals. There's a reason why it feels good. But yeah, so I think the actual overarching reason, so this does kind of fit into like this reason why FOSTA SESTA exists, because if you actually look at FOSTA SESTA, it doesn't exist to actually stop sex trafficking, because it doesn't make any sense for it to stop sex trafficking, but exists because the same reason why sex work here is criminalized, because we don't fuck with things like that. Mm-hmm. We're like still against purient interests. We're still sanitized as a society, even though we use sex to promote certain things. Yeah. And even though all of our lawmakers are fucking sex workers all the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. So it was like, there's the face that we put on and the face that we actually are inside. So the face that Apple puts on is that it doesn't fuck with anything in regards to sex. Like specifically, the Apple Store prohibits apps with user generated content or services that end up being used primarily for pornographic content, which makes no fucking sense to me. Like, this is the internet. It is sex. What do you mean?
It's porn.
But yeah, so Tumblr, which I think now is owned by Verizon, doesn't want to fuck with that shit, which I get for your bottom line. But also, as a space like Tumblr, where fucking people, sex workers built Tumblr, Black people built Tumblr, queer people built Tumblr, people who are into kink built this fucking space. Mm-hmm. So you built yourself off the backs of all these people who are liberal and into like sex positivity or whatever. And then when the bag is presented to you, you're like, nope, we don't fuck with y'all like that. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make any fucking sense. I mean, it does make sense, but if you're actually trying to build the society that you say you want to build and you want to be this better Tumblr that you say you want to be, then actually be with the fucking shit. So a couple of reasons why this ban was bad. It's fucking up the careers of sex workers. So a lot of sex workers interact with their fans on Tumblr, whether it be like curated blogs with other people's like content or whatever, or blogs with their content. It's just a way to market yourself as somebody who is selling sex, whether it be full service or camming or phone, whatever. It's also fucking up resources for sex workers who use the space to share useful information with one another. So a lot of sex workers use Tumblr to share safety tips, talk about clientele types to avoid, like specific people to avoid who are like that weirdo who doesn't pay you or whatever, or that weirdo who like always crosses your boundaries. And they also share things like financial tips, like how to file your taxes when you're in sex work or whatever. So Tumblr's new policy doesn't say that you can't have explicit content in written language, but the fact that they're already pushing people out of the website and making the website feel unsafe makes people not want to be on the website anymore. So people aren't going to feel comfortable in these communities on Tumblr, one. But then two, one of the things that the policy says is that it like specifically says, if you spot a post that you don't think belongs on Tumblr, period, you can report it. Which if I see something that's like, oh, this is sex worker tips, and I'm like, oh, sex work, that's disgusting. Mm-hmm. I can just, mm-hmm. yeah, I can report it right there, and then it gets kicked off. Why the fuck do I want to be on Tumblr now if I'm a sex worker and I'm trying to like have these open conversations with people who are in the same service as me? So that's one. So it's like killing off all these resources and ways to market yourself, but then also it's opening up a space for harassment. So just like with Thought Audit, if I see a sex worker doing anything on the internet, I could just report that bitch. Mm-hmm. And now people can do things like, if you see a report, a post on Tumblr that you think is bad, I'm just going to report that Tumblr page. Mm-hmm. And then without question, they're going to put a stop on your page. No matter what you're saying, like right now under the fucking like things that are reported and like being flagged or whatever, that like, oh, we can't see this, there's like a picture of like Jesus Christ because the nigga's fucking naked on the cross.
See, I just can't.
It's stupid. If I had to imagine what was gonna come out of your mouth, it wasn't gonna be
Jesus Christ.
Well, guess what it is?
Oh my god!
It's Christ, my friends.
I've never noticed that Jesus is naked on the cross. Not ever.
That nigga does not have a shirt on. Okay.
Okay.
That is very pornographic in nature, right. And it offends me. It offends me. Cover up.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I'm kidding. But not really, though. But also, which brings up a good point, because Tumblr actually would allow for Jesus Christ to be naked because Jesus doesn't have boobs. But if you mm-hmm. have boobs on Tumblr, that's adult content. Mm-hmm. So one nigga could be standing here with his shirt off, and somebody with boobs could be standing here with their shirt off. But if you have boobs, it's wrong. Unless you're exposing your female presenting nipples in the case of breastfeeding, mastectomy, or gender confirmation surgery, which I feel like is such a like clinical wash the body of a person with breasts. Like that's the only time that you're okay. Like you had to have cancer, my nigga.
Yes. It's something about the nipples specifically, apparently, that's the issue.
It's female presenting nipples.
Free the nipples, yeah.
It's bad. So my takeaway for that is, Tumblr, do the fucking work. Like, I get why you don't want the smoke, but you also have the money to have the smoke, and now you're in the space where you can start saying stuff like that. So right now, just now, I said fuck Apple because Apple is doing like these anti-sex positive things. That's a bad thing for us to say. We're a podcast on Apple, but we have the space where we can fucking say shit like that. So I'm gonna use my fucking voice to say fuck that standard. Hey. So Tumblr, you have that in you. You can say that. You can fight against this, but you're like diminishing the space that you're being whack. You're diminishing the space that you have and the voice that you have to increase your bag, which is fine for your bag, but it's not fine for everyone else in the world. So if you want to build this better society that we say we want to build, then we actually have to do the work to build it. So that's my point about Tumblr. And then every little dumb bitch who's on Twitter who's like, oh, you don't value your pussy because you're selling your pussy. Fuck you. That's war on sex work. That is actually putting value. That's putting a bag on your pussy.
It's literally a dollar sign. Like, okay. Literally.
Yes.
I don't value my pussy by fucking niggas like you for free. That's
niggas
what
who say errands. I don't value my pussy, son. Damn. But the sex workers who do, shout out.
Value yourself.
And
you find back.
I just always have to do it because I'm self-deprecating in nature.
Buy me food, my nigga.
Please buy me food. That's all I ask for. I really don't ask for much. And then lastly, this all to me kind of like circled back to the case with Centoya Brown. And I'm not sure if we talked about her on the show. I think we did. I think we did for one episode back when the viral thing first mm-hmm. started happening, but we haven't talked about the new round of information. But basically, Centoya Brown is a now 30-year-old woman who was forced into prostitution as a child when she was 16 years old. And when she was a child forced into prostitution, she was in a situation where she was with a John. He was like 43 or something like that. He had a whole bunch of guns on the wall. He was being very menacing because that's what the type of nigga he is, if he's like having, trying to have sex or rape a 16-year-old, but he has a whole bunch of guns on the wall. He's white. She doesn't know who the fuck he is. And he reaches for something and she takes a gun out of her purse and she kills him because this nigga has mad guns on the wall. And I'm 16 and I've already been forced into prostitution and I'm scared for my life. So she shot him. Right. They rape people. She shot him and she killed him. And as such, she's been in jail for the past 14 years now and is still in the process of, she can potentially serve 51 years in prison for killing this man. And I'm not going to go too much into it, but if you want to hear more about it, I suggest that you go to a Tea with Queen and Jay episode that I'm going to link in the show notes because they did a good unpacking of it. But also you can like read her story on the internet. And also I'm going to give some resources on how you can help her case, whether it be calling the governor of her state to give her clemency or just to like write into her or put money on her books or whatever. But it's just so stupid that we live in this fucking society that says we have to stop at all costs kids from being sex trafficked. And we have this very blatant, very national story of a child being sex trafficked that where celebrities have actually talked about this. Like Kim Kardashian talked about this. Rihanna talked about this. These are niggas that you fucking consume. But at the same time, you want to like support all these fucking bills and say, oh, sex trafficking is bad or whatever. But this is someone who has actually been sex trafficked. But now, oh, that was a grown woman and she was trying to rob him. It doesn't fucking make any sense. There's a cognitive dissonance. So you can't be on one side of the fence here and then not be about the shit
here. Not follow through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're against sex trafficking, which I damn sure hope you are, because that's weird.
Why are you listening to this show?
That's like, I don't know. But if you are against sex trafficking, you need to support not only Centoya Brown, but you need to support cases like that because that's not out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
People get sold into prostitution all the time. People are oftentimes black, transgender, queer women who are forced into prostitution all the time. So you need to have your heart and your purses with those people, your heart, your purses, and your voice with those people. But then also you need to have your heart, your purses, and your voice with the people who are selling sex consensually because y'all niggas watch porn. And that's people fucking selling sex. Like, I don't get it. There's a cognitive dissonance. Be a better human being. And then finally, in all of this, I will put resources where you can help other sex worker-oriented organizations in the description of this episode. And that's it. Okay, so you might be like, where the hell is the rest of the episode? They said they were going to talk about all these things. Where the fuck is the rest of it? I don't get it. That is because when you get four hoes in a room who have not seen each other in 9 months, they're going to talk for a really long time. So we actually ended up recording 3 hours the day that this was recorded. Oh, I'm just looking. It's actually 3 hours, 40 minutes. That was a really, really wild day. But we're not going to force you to listen to 3 hours and 40 minutes. What we are going to do is break this episode into two parts. So you just have heard the first part. The second part will be more about our hoe goals and hoe reflections from 2018. And that is going to air on January 2nd. So I hope you enjoyed the first part of our 2019 recap of our bays and our favorite homies and our self-care tips and the war on sex work and why that is something that we should pay attention to in the next year. And yeah, stay tuned for the next episode and have a happy, happy Kwanzaa and have a happy, happy New Year. A couple of things before I wrap up the episode. Today is actually Rob, the god of Kwanzaa's birthday, guys. So hit them up at panafrican.bootyscratcher on Instagram. It's so stupid. On Instagram and Twitter, all of which you can find in the description for this episode, and send them some birthday wishes. Also, 1 month from now, save the date because on January 26th, we'll be throwing Rob a coming home party that everyone in New York City is welcome to attend, but it's going to be right here in the city. One more thing. Rob the God of Kwanzaa's mic did cut out during our Bay of the Year section, but Rob did want to give a very special shout out to these bays this year and all of the awesome, wonderful, positive vibes and things that folks sent to Rob while they were away on deployment. So special shout out to Karen Drink the Root Beer, Milton, Ali Lou, and Coco Mango Cherry. Y'all are very, very awesome. And then also January 6th, come out to our sex trivia event. Please RSVP. Link you can find in the description of this episode if you would like to attend. We're just trying to see how many teams are competing, so we hope to see you there. And regardless, we're going to see you in the new year. All right, see you homies in 20 by teen.